I'm here with my wife, Unami, and my mother-in-law and my kids. Just a quick story. My children, each of them they've all got African names. And that's a good thing. And each of them have come at a time in my life where it means something to me, you know. And what I can say with all of my children is that the more each child has released something good in my life. Because when I look at when my son was born, if I look back at those photos, even though I was smiling, I wasn't really happy, you know. Not because the child was born, but I just mean generally, you know, with your general well-being, you know. And each successive child has just unlocked something, you know. And so the second one came, then the third one came, then the fourth one came. And I just feel good to be a person, you know. I feel joyful. I feel real, you know, like the person that I am is what I feel on the inside. So maybe back then there used to be, you know, you do the smiling thing, but generally on the inside you feel a bit yucky. But each successive child has unlocked some, God has allowed each child to unlock something in me. And I generally wanted to have, my goal was to have 6 children, you know, and so there was a lot of campaigning, you know, for the fourth child. It took many years of convincing and manipulation, you know. But eventually, my wife relented, you know. But whether there's going to be another, imagine if I have 6, how really happy I would be. I would be an even better person, you know. You know, so if you want a best me, you know, just unlock more kids. But anyway, it's really good to be here this morning, and I want to thank the band. Thank you. Please put your hands together for the band. And so you've joined us at a time where we're talking about connect groups, you know, and I guess before I get into my cadence, into the swing of things, it was Pastor Nigel, you know, and Pastor Andrew. I want to honor them, you know, for their leadership, you know, for them taking, being pioneers, but also being people of faith who believe in God, you know. And ever since I joined the team, I recall saying, you know, when we have our Tuesday morning meetings, that one of the things that has impressed me the most, or one of the things that I've learned, is that even the small things we are praying to God about, believing God for, you know. And I think that, wow, I picked that up after successive, prayer moments before our meetings began on Tuesday. And I thought that is a significant thing, where your reliance for even mundane and simple things has got to be on God. God, I thank you we pray for more volunteers. We thank you, Lord God, for this. You know, we pray for this person who's sick, you know. All those things are significant, you know, in the life of a church. And so I just want to thank you, you know, for igniting, just creating that shift, a small shift, because it's very easy for us to be so self-reliant and only go to God for the big stuff. But it's really important that we even go to God for the small things, because even he is interested. As big as he is, you know, there's 6 billion people in the world, and everybody is raining down their prayers or sending them up, really, you know. And you can imagine, goodness, he is so busy, but he takes the time to be attentive to all those small prayers. And I think that is something that, you know, is very amazing about God. So, if you haven't been here, you've joined us at a time when we're talking about connect groups. And now, you know, what's the big deal about connect groups and connection? Because, you see, no man is an island. There is no such thing as a self-made man or a self-made woman. It sounds good, to say that. You know, it makes us all feel a bit small when you get a few billionaires come up here and say, I'm a self-made person. And we all start wondering and start having self-esteem issues, wondering, oh, how could I be like them? But the reality is that they too needed people. Even Jesus Christ needed somebody, you know, because the only way they could know that it was Jesus, he had to be pointed out by somebody else. Without John the Baptist, there's no Jesus Christ, because he's the one who ushered in that and said, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, without an Elijah, there would be no Elisha. And so we all need people in our lives, people who are going to, who've got a higher level of awareness than we have about certain things. And we understand that life has got its own cadence. Life has got seasons. Now we're coming in, we've just come out of a period where the leaves fell off the trees and the trees were barren. And then all of a sudden, a few months later, the leaves are back on the trees. Just like we've got the natural cycle to things, there's a cycle to life that is there. And so if you want to be able to do things in your life, you want to tap into people who've been through seasons in your, who've been through the season you're going through, so that you don't have to make the same mistakes that they make. You tap into that. And so we need each other. And I was just calculating during the prayer time, you know, and everybody, we were praying this morning, and there's 365 days in a year, and there is 24 hours in a day. That works out to be 8,760 hours a year. But we are in church tops 52 Sundays a year, 1.5 hours. That works out to 78 hours. This time that we have together is only small compared to the life that we live. And whilst this is great, the fellowship is fantastic and it's wonderful, you know, connecting with one another in a connect group is even more significant when we look at doing life, because we're only here 78 hours. And the real life actually takes place within the connect groups. And so Ecclesiastes verse 4 to 9 says, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. And that's, you know, you feel it on a winter evening. You know, my wife is next to me. She's kind of warm. That's great, you know. And so that's why we need one another. Because without one another, it's quite easy for you to be stranded and all alone. And you can imagine if you're by yourself and you fall in a pit. Guess what's going to happen? There's going to be nobody there to pick you up. And so it's such a blessing to be able to have somebody or a group of people that you can connect with. Because as you're connected, you are tapping into a higher level of awareness that other person has. Now, when I use that word as awareness, it might just mean experience. So they've experienced things and they've learned it. And so you can tap into the experience that another person has. Therefore, you don't have to go through the same downfall that they had. So if I've made bad financial decisions in my life, and then I tell you about that, guess what? You don't have to make the same decisions I made, because that's going to rob you of so much blessing in your life. And just this morning, you know, we're worshiping, I just felt God drop something in my heart, and that is about positioning. That in God, positioning is very crucial. You see, Zacchaeus had to be positioned within the tree. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to meet up with the Lord. And the key thing about positioning that God is saying to each and every one of us is that God has got something in store for both you and I. And we need to be in the right place and in the right position so that we can maximize whatever it is that God has for us. Moses went on his daily walk tending the sheep. He had to be in the right position for God to appear to him in the burning bush, you know. And I just want to say that, you know, whether you are part of a connect group or whether you're not part of one, well, if you're part of one, great. But if you're not part of a connect group, being positioned in a connect group is going to be significant to what God wants to do, because it's within that atmosphere, it's within that space that you allow God through other people to move and to touch your life and to springboard where you are going to go, where God is taking you next. Amen? Acts 2, verse 42 to 47. And this is what happened at the, this is what the early church was doing. They devoted, believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions. Are we ready to be doing that? Woo! That's the blueprint, you know. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. It's a bit harder. I'm not selling the car, you know. I mean, I'll gladly sell ours. If it was a Mercedes Benz, I wouldn't sell it, you know. You know, they worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in their homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship, those who were being saved. You see, because God, when he wants to do things, he wants people to be connected to one another. We had a time where there were the Jews, and then there was everybody else. And the Jews were doing their thing, and they were the ones that we are the ones who've been given the gift of God. You know, Jesus, the Lord is for us and nobody else. And I think if you fast forward a few verses in Acts, there's a centurion who had a vision, and he had this vision, and he said that, look, send a message to a guy named Simon in Joppa and tell him to come here. He's got a message for you. Now, this centurion was a Gentile. And so Peter, at the same time when this guy is having his, he was sleeping, and he has a vision where God brings down a sheet. And in that sheet, there's all types of unclean animals, because they couldn't eat pork. You know, God bless them. I love pork, you know. And they couldn't eat that, and all these unclean animals they couldn't eat. And so the Lord said, kill and eat. And him, being a religious person, said, look, I can't do that. All my life I've been taught that I can't eat unclean animals. He was asked a second time, kill and eat. Boom, he refused, you know. And then eventually the sheet went back up to heaven, and that was the end of the vision. And then immediately he heard some people saying, we've come to get you. And eventually they went to where Simon was. And what happened when they got there was that Simon explained to him what God was doing in his life. And then the realization of the vision, Peter realized, you see, is that what God was trying to do was to bridge a gap between the Jews and the Gentiles. You see, because God never wants us to do life in isolation. He wants us to do life together. And that's the whole aspect of it, is that when we're doing connect groups, is that, you know what, we're going to do life together. And so positioning is fundamental. Because let us not be those who position ourselves or make a decision where we're not going to be part of the life of the church, of what's happening in the church. And I understand people are busy, so, you know, we're not being ultra-religious about this. But there is something about connecting with one another that is going to be important for what God wants to do in your life and in other people's lives and in the life of the church. Amen? If only this thing could stop doing this. Flip. Can we say flipping here? I just did, you know, so I won't do it again. I'll be chided on Tuesday. And so you sort of like see the blueprint that was set by the early church. They talked about we were doing things in fellowship with one another. You know, and sometimes you see we can fellowship with one another at a surface level, which is what we might sometimes do on a Sunday. We come here with all our masks, you know, hello, how are you? How's your week? Great, praise the Lord. And guess what? We go. And so that sometimes it can be surface level fellowship. But the fellowship that these early apostles and the early church had was what is called koinonia in the Greek. And that is a shared community that involves deep, close-knit participation among its people. Now, an even greater meeting definition by Joseph Thayer is that it's association, community, communion, joint participation, and intercourse, which is just the coming together at a deeper level. And that's what happens in Connect Groups, is that we come together and we begin to do life at a much more deeper level with one another, where the masks are off, where we are authentic with one another as brothers and sisters. And so where we can share with one another the real things that are going on in our families, the real things that are going on in our worlds. And the whole point we do that is so that we can allow the power of God to come upon us, so we can live even better lives. Because you know what? There are other people that have walked the journey before you, and they can share some of the insights that they've gone through. And this is going to bless you and say, you know what the Lord did for me when I was going through something similar? He did X, Y, and Z. And then you're going to leave that place feeling really encouraged. And that's the type of church that we want, where we are really joined together with one another. You know, and that's, if that is going to be the starting point, I would rather start off with real, authentic, deep down stuff before we get to the selling of houses and sharing of possessions. Because it seems that that's a difficult one to swallow, you know. Now, you may not necessarily have to share your house, but the point of the matter is that they devoted themselves to one another. And that's a real key point here, you know, because you're getting a bit apprehensive. Damn, I don't want to sell my house. That's worth $2 million, you know. But it's about joining with one another in such an authentic and rich way. And the key thing you see is that you've got giftings that I don't have. You experience God in a way that I can never experience God. You know, and so when we join it together with one another, you are enriching my experience of God through your experience. And so Connect Groups are fundamental to how our churches with C3 Fremantle and C3 Willard are going to move on and take ground into the future. In Alice Springs in 2009, we went for, this was child number 3. Was on their way. And so Nami obviously said, it's blue or there's a line. And so we said, oh, great, you know. And so we went for a dating scan at the hospital. So we went to the hospital, and so they ushered us into the scanner's room, the lady that does the scan. And so the lady was scanning and scanning, whoop, whoop, whoop. You can hear the heartbeat going with the child. And so she kept, you know, doing all those movements. And then she went out, you know. Now, I'm a very suspicious person. I'm an auditor by training, you know. And so my training as an auditor is we can tend to be a bit cynical. And we have, not because that's our posture, but that's our work, you know. And so she went out and I said to myself, oh, something is not right, you know. She goes out a second time and she goes out again, and this time she comes back with a colleague. And so they're not telling us anything. They're just looking at each other and just going, whoop, whoop, whoop. And then eventually, okay, you know, she says, look, your child's intestines are outside of its body, you know. And I'm thinking, okay, give us more. So now, you know, your brain is ticking. Okay, give us more information. And then she says, can you guys go and wait in the reception? So we wait, and we went into the reception and we waited. They collaborated a bit more and they came out and started to give further explanation of what it was, that sometimes that's what happens, that, you know, everything is outside the body and then it goes back in, and then that's when you have the belly button, but your child stuff is on the outside. And so I said, now you're clamoring for more information. He says, look, I can't tell you anymore. You'll have to wait for the radiographer's report, and the radiographer's in next week on Wednesday. And this was on a Friday afternoon, and so your brain is ticking that, oh, man, this is not good. And so what happened that day, we went home, because it was 2 o'clock when the appointment was set. So we go home, and super quiet, you know, because you don't know what's happening. So we were super quiet, got home, and then we said, anyway, we've got Connect Group tonight. It happened to be on a Friday. So we go to the Connect Group, and we do the usual thing. Everybody's there. It was great. And then I spoke and I said, look, guys, we went for the dating scan and Nami's pregnant, and this is what they said. And immediately the Connect Group began to pray for us, you know, giving us all the attention. And it just so happened that the way this Connect Group was constructed, it was constructed of people that were significantly, they were probably 15 or so years older than us, because their kids were probably 20. The youngest child was 15. You know, and so they obviously had been through the journey in life, and so they were able to support us and pray for us. And you know, back then we had no support. Everybody's in Africa, you know, so essentially we had to do it by ourselves. But we didn't, because we had the Connect Group with us. You know, they walked the journey with us, they'll check in on us. And so eventually we went to see the radiographer, and then they kept saying, look, this is what is going to happen. Your child has got this thing in the Greek. It's called an omphalocele. And this is what, there's going to be many developmental abnormalities. So you can terminate. That's an option before the 12 weeks. And so we went, you know, after we went to see a surgeon from Alice Springs to Adelaide, and he kept, and look, he wasn't encouraging, but he would say, look, it's an option, you know, and we said, look, we know we're not gonna terminate. You know, I think that it's going to be, we've been. And my response was that God has given us 2 healthy kids. So if He gives us this one, then the one thing I'm going to pray for is the grace to have to deal with whatever's going to come our way. You know, and eventually, the baby was born, intestines outside the body, you know, like a little. And then she got operated on day number 1, the day she came out. And then that's it. They had said that with a child like this, they will have multiple surgeries by the time they get to 7 years old. And we can, you know, by the grace of God, she's only had the 1 surgery. Wow. You know, and so, you know, and so there are times, though, you know, where she's playing up, you know, where you're sort of like saying, you were a choice away. You know. But like, oh, man, you know, you can make my life difficult. But I say all this about Connect Groups to show you the power of Connect Groups. You know, my father died, you know, in 2008. And that same Connect Group, the leader of the Connect Group, his name was John Loudon. They're in Tasmania now. And he walked with me through. By the time I left to go back home, you know, he'd check on me, check on Unami. He says, don't worry, we'll look after your wife as you, you know, as you go. And that's the power of connection. You know, there was some Africans that were, the African community that was there. I remember coming back when I told somebody that my father died. I came back home, and the cars were packed in our driveway. And so, you know, I walked in, and there's all these Africans, you know. That sounds so bad, eh? You know? There were these people, you know. And that's even worse, eh? You know, but you get, my point is that these are not church people, you know. Per se. They might not have been going to the same church as me, but they're religious people as well, Christian people. And so they came together as we do in African custom, and they all, you know, they all contributed something, and they gave me a bag, you know, and, you know, of money, which is, you know, what, how we show our remorse in Africa, you know. And But that's also highlighting the power of community. So you imagine if I was there in Alice Springs and I said, I don't give a damn about you all. I do my own. I live life by myself. Who was going to be there at a time when I needed support? And connect groups are so powerful. They're integral to how the church functions, you know. And also the power of a connect group. As a young person, I was an accountant and working. And there was a lady that I was working with, same level, super intimidating woman, you know. I mean, super intimidating. Has anybody ever met an intimidating person in the office? Huh? Man, those people are something. Super intimidating. And I recall, you know, I'll be listening to a song by 50 Cent. Don't judge me, you know. But I listened to a song by 50, and the song was called I Still Will. And that means it's called I Still Will. That's the edited version. The original version is Still Kill, you know. And whenever I would play that song, man, I'd be thinking about that lady, you know. Because there was just something that and I'm being real here, that, man, as the lyrics would go, I'll be thinking of her, you know. But then I get to the connect group, and I explain to the group, you know, that guys, there's this issue at work, you know, but because, you know, and this is what I said, but because, you know, I'm a Christian, I don't think whether the Lord wants us to act in this way, I don't know how to address the issue with her. And the ladies, as I was talking, you know, when people start to fidget as you're talking, and they all rose up and said, you have to confront her. You have to confront her. And I said, but they said no. So I mustered up the courage on Monday. And so I said, I made the time. I said, look, can we have a chat? Went into her office and, you know, and confronted her over the issues. And what happened is that when I left that office, I felt like a lion. I felt so good. Man, I could just punch something, you know, because I felt so good. But what I didn't realize was that step to deal with that particular issue at that time, when more intimidation came and even stronger intimidation, I had already had the arsenal. I'd already defeated intimidation before. And so I was like, well, because I've beat you before, I can beat you again. If I wasn't in a connect group, I probably would be struggling with intimidation. You know, it sounds all wacky, but positioning is important. Positioning, how we choose to position ourselves. And you've also got to understand is that when you choose not to, you are actually positioning yourself not to be in a position for victory, in a position to conquer, in a position for God to move in your life. And don't get me wrong, God is all-powerful. He can move in your life by yourself, you know. But sometimes you don't have to go through the struggle if somebody else has gone through the struggle before you. And so why are connect groups important? As I finish up and as the band gets up, there is a togetherness that we have. There's a togetherness of worship. We do Bible study together. We just really drill down into the Bible. We share meals. But also, there is service opportunities. Because God has gifted to us, all of us, gifts at varying levels. And so because you are gifted, you are going to begin to use your gifts in the connect group. If it's a gift of encouragement, you're going to start off in the connect groups. If it's a gift of prophecy, you're going to use the connect groups to start to do that. If it's a gift of healing, when somebody's sick in the connect group, you're going to put your hands up and believe. Gift of faith, this is the avenue by which you can begin to exercise the gifts that God has given you. They're a place of encouragement. We can encourage and support each other. And most importantly, we can hold each other accountable when it's necessary to do so. So if I'm having relationship issues and I talk to another guy, whether it's an accountability partner or another man in the Connect group, he's going to pull me up, and as he should, and say, my friend, you are off the track here. Because he's building me up. And this is the avenue to do so. Imagine if we just rock up here and begin to prophesy, oh, this is what the Lord is saying. You're like this, this, this. You're like, I mean, that wouldn't be nice to put people on the spot. You know, where you begin to, you know, as you would hear people say, we read their mail. You know, we can hear what God is saying about certain people. No, it's in that private space that you can begin to do life with one another. Encourage one another, build each other up in the faith. And most importantly, it's the spiritual gifts, you know, where we begin to use the gifts that God has given to each and every one of us to bless other people, you know. You see, in Ephesians 4, 11 to 16, it said, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced and when people try to trick us with lies, so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit perfectly. As each part does its own special works, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. The power is in your hands to move, to heal, to set free, to provide deliverance. No matter how young you are, that same power that raised Christ from the dead is within you. You have the authority, if somebody is sick, to lay your hands upon them and to pray a blessing and healing. And this is why I want to emphasize this, that, you see, it's great. The pastors will always come. And you know what? Our pastor in C3 Alice Springs was a gentleman named Pastor Mark. Not once. I mean, I said hi to Pastor Mark, but not once did I share any intimate details with Pastor Mark. I shared it with my Connect group leader, and he was there for me. They were there for us as a couple, you know. They were there when we were having issues with our kids, you know, even other issues, you know. They would talk to us and say, you know, try and set us straight. But you guys have the power within your hands, the power to move, the power to touch, the power to set free. And that is why for me, Connect groups are important. That is why that Connect group, you know, I can remember it fondly. And my encouragement to each and every one of us, if you're not in a Connect group, is fill out this card, if you haven't already filled it out, and hand it at the back, you know, because you know what? We want to do life with you. We want to be there to support you in your journey. And we also want you to exercise the gifts that God has given you so you can bless others. And so as we finish this morning, I'd like us to just go through that chorus, "I'm all for you, I'm all for you." And then I'm just going to pray. I'd like to pray for some people. "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them from all. The righteous person faces many troubles, but the Lord comes to the rescue each time." You know, we go through stuff in life, and this God is who He says He is. You know, we go through stuff, but it says, "But the Lord delivers them from all." You know, an affliction is something that causes pain or harm. The state of being in pain, disorder, disease, which is essentially dis-ease, where we are not at ease. An ailment, an illness, you know. And I've been stewing on that the whole week. But the Lord. But the Lord. And if you're here this morning and you're sick in your body, or you want the Lord to deliver you from something, or the Lord to do something, as the band sings, and even perhaps as they send us off, I want you to come to the front here. The prayer team will be here. And we're just going to lay my hands. I'm going to lay my hands and believe for whatever it is that you want from the Lord this morning. Let's roll through the chorus and then come to the front, and then they'll dismiss us. Thank you very much.